Blog Talk Radio.
But we are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated. I want the individuals out there, I want free humanity to turn themselves loose, to cut the chains loose, and to use the end of that chain to slap the New World Order right upside the head. You've got the power. You want to know who can defeat the New World Order? It is you. You're the individuals that are going to be able to defeat this system. You're the individuals that are going to be able to take down the New World Order. It doesn't matter if Ron Paul wins. It doesn't matter if they rig the election. What matters is that we're starting to stand up. We're starting to move. We're starting to find our legs. We're starting to build our muscles. We're starting to realize that we do have power, and we can work together, and we can take action, and that the naysayers are a pack of weak liars who have never had any successes in their life and who are upset and frustrated to see us beginning to have victories against tyranny. They don't have any respect for themselves. They don't have any vision. And they don't have any will. And they sure don't have any of the power that shines out of God's soul and energizes all life in the universe. They have wed themselves to death. And they will crumble, and they will fall, and for eternity, we wed ourselves to life, and to everything good, and everything that flows from it.
Renewed hostile actions against United States ships on the high seas in the Gulf of Tonkin have today required me to order the military forces of the United States to take action in reply.
Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible?
He still has the gun. The gun is pointed at me at this moment.
Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to.
We have run a full fire. We have an explosion, and we are demanding that we agree to a trial of this.
People calling themselves members of the Weather Underground last night planted bombs in federal office buildings in Washington and Oakland, California.
They took the babies out of incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
Survivors of the USS Liberty are demanding a congressional investigation into what happened and acknowledgement that the Israeli Air Force bombed a U.S. intelligence Navy ship.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
The Taliban is taking responsibility for shooting down a U.S. helicopter. More than 30 people were killed, and there are reports this morning that most of them are U.S. Navy SEALs.
There may be a false flag incident where a ship goes down and you can use for the excuse to accelerate the next war.
If there's one thing that has unified Democrats and Republicans, and everybody in between, that we all hated the bank bailout.
The Department of Homeland Security is apparently on a huge ammo buying spree.
It comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition.
Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people.
They estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
From the front lines of the information war.
Gunshot in that front. Roger.
throttle. Circuit breakers in. We have separation. Inboard and outboard, they're on. We're coming forward with the side stick.
Looks good.
Roger. I've got a blowout. Stand for three.
Pitch your pitch to zero.
Pitch it out. I can't hold out to two.
Direction out.
Astronaut, a man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man. Steve Austin will be that man. Better than he was before. Better, stronger, faster.
All right, everybody, how you doing? My name is Joseph Gibson, broadcasting from Greensboro, North Carolina, a little after 6 p.m. on the East Coast on a Sunday evening, February 14th, 2016. It's Valentine's Day. I wonder where that holiday originated from. I don't know too much about Valentine's Day. I know where Christmas originated from in my theological studies, and, you know, I know about Easter. Of course, we know the Lord, you know, was not crucified on Easter Sunday. We know that. I know about Good Friday. That's a hoax. All you have to do is do your math. If he was crucified on a certain day and rose in 3 days, obviously it didn't come to Friday. But anyway, that's, you know, you have to do a little bit of research for that. And also about Christmas. Obviously, the Lord was not born on December 25th. If you go back and you research the Catholic, looks how they came up with that holiday and who St. Christopher Nicholas really was, you'd be horrified. And of course, the Bible, you know, in Jeremiah chapter 10 discusses Christmas a little bit with the Christmas tree. So, you know, we know it's a pagan holiday. But again, today is St. Valentine's Day. So this is where I'd like to know where that originated from. I'm going to probably look into that a little bit for maybe next year. We'll talk. I'll give you some information on it, because next week, you know, we live in such a fast-paced world today that, you know, we'll forget about it today. But tonight, I do have a guest that's going to come on. I'm going to put him through here in a couple minutes after my introduction, Andrew from South Carolina. And actually, I really know very little. He's a friend of Dr. Ventura in San Diego, California, and we all know Peter Ventura. He's been a guest several times on this show. He said he may even check in tonight. We'll see. He's very busy as of late. I know he called in a few weeks ago, and, you know, he told us about his insurance claim and, you know, how the insurance companies were raking him through the coals and whatnot. But so we're going to have Andrew on here very soon. But, you know, I wanted to talk, also just to touch base real quick, also, excuse me, not to jump the gun here. I wanted to talk a little bit, but one more time, about the show we had a couple Sundays ago with the former Prime Minister of Canada and the lead attorney from the Chinese embassy in China, about the show about the harvesting of organs in the labor camp, the torture labor camps. That was an international show we did, and the number of hits on the website were, you know, it's over, the hits go over 21,000. Whether or not they downloaded the show, I do not know. But according to the download section of my stat sheet, it says that the downloads were about 14,000 throughout the last couple of weeks. So those are superb numbers. That's a lot of people who heard the message that night. So the supporters of the show that called in that night, and of course, thank you to David Kelleher, the former Prime Minister of Canada, to call in that night and share his time with us for 30 minutes and talk about this issue that he's battling. And the lead attorney of China from the United States Embassy in China to call in and discuss the organ harvesting. And it was just absolutely a brilliant show, and it was one of the biggest shows I've done, actually, to have a former president or and parliament member of the country of Canada on this show. So my thanks goes out to David. I mean, we've done popular shows in the past, You know, I've had the war hero David Rowe on this show. Excuse me, Sean Rowe. I'm screwing up a little tonight. Sean Rowe, who was a veteran who formed an organization, Veterans Against ISIS. And we had him on the show, and I give you an update, of course, on Sean. The Veterans Against ISIS actually were shut down by the United States government because they would not allow the veterans to go over there and fight ISIS on their own as mercenaries. They told them if they were to try to board a plane in the United States, if they were able to get on it and then land over in Syria or somewhere in the Middle East, they'd be taken into custody. So what they did was they took the funds they raised and allocated those funds to the veterans in the United States who are in trouble today. You know, we know a lot of veterans in this country are ignored by this filthy administration, this Obama administration. They're ignored. But anyway, I don't want to put my guest on hold too long, so I'm going to go ahead and connect Andrew. I'm going to go ahead and connect him right now, and I'll allow him to introduce himself. Andrew, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Joseph.
All right, Andrew. Yes, I can hear you just fine, and we have about 30 callers on the line. I don't see my chat room because I'm having technical difficulties with my chat box. Usually I get a lot of questions through the chat room. I can go to the moderator chat room where I see a few, but I have to pay attention to the call line in case somebody has a question. I have about 35 callers on the line right now. No questions, because I want to give you the floor right now. So no questions right now. But Andrew, can you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself and what you're going to talk about tonight? And then after you do that, go ahead. The floor is yours.
Yes. Thank you very much, Joseph. I'm a minister down here, an evangelist down here in Chester, South Carolina. And I've been covering President Obama before he even became president. And for 9 years, I have written about the president's egocentric thought process. This is not to portray a hateful attitude toward our president, but rather a wake-up call to Americans that our country is being destroyed by this administration, as you have just said, Joseph. The people need to know who this man really is. So, Mr. President, who said at an Islamic dinner, "I am one of you"? It was you. Who gave $100 million in United States taxpayer funds to rebuild foreign mosques? It was you. Hallelujah, man. I tell you, it is something else. Who referenced on an ABC news program my Muslim faith? It was you. Who gave $100 million in United States taxpayer funds to rebuild foreign mosques? It was you. Who assured the Egyptian foreign minister that I am a Muslim? It was you. This is all factual stuff, ladies and gentlemen out there. Who bowed in submission before the Saudi king? It was you. Who sat for 20 years in a liberation theology church condemning Christianity and professing Marxism? It was you. Who exempted Muslims from penalties under Obamacare or that the rest of us have to pay? It was you. You see what I'm saying, folks? Who purposely admitted and endowed by our Creator from your recitation of the Declaration of Independence? It was you. Who traveled the Islamic world denigrating the United States of America? It was you. We can't forget these things. We shouldn't forget them because we're about half an inch away from our country being taken over. Who instantly threw the support of your administration behind the building of the Ground Zero? Very interesting. Victory Mosque overlooking the hollow crater of the World Trade Center. It was you. Who refused to attend the national breakfast at the White House? It was you. Who ordered both Georgetown University and Notre Dame to shroud all vestiges of Jesus Christ before you would give or agree to go there to speak? But in contrast, you have never requested that the mosques you have visited adjust their decor. You, Mr. President, Oh, I could go on and on. Mr. President, you appointed Rabbi Islamist to your Homeland Security. Mr. President, you appointed anti-Christian fanatics to your Czar Corps, who recently said that NASA's foremost mission was an outreach to Muslim communities. It was you. It was you. Who was the first president to fail to send Christian greetings from the White House and went so far as to hang photos of Chairman Mao on the White House Christmas tree? It was you. Who curtailed the military tribunals of all Islamic terrorists? It was you. Who refused to condemn the Fort Hood killer as an Islamic terrorist, but rather a workplace terrorist? It was you. Who has refused to speak out concerning horrific executions of women throughout the Muslim culture, but yet have submitted Arizona to the United States nations for investigation of hypothetical human rights abuses? It was you. Who, when queried in India, refused to acknowledge the true extent of radical global jihadists, and instead, perversely praised Islam in a country that is 82% Hindu and the victim of numerous Islamic terrorist assaults? Praise God, my Lord, who founded funneled 900 million in United States taxpayer dollars to Hamas? It was you. Oh, my Lord, I could go on and on with this over and over again. But I'm saying to you all out there, there's much more to this man than meets the eye. And I thank Joseph for giving me the time to to go over this.
Andrew, not to interrupt you. That was pretty good. I never had anyone come on here and really talk about the facts about this this criminal that it does live in the White House. I know none of my supporters support this criminal. So what you said, you can catch your breath for a second but that was pretty darn good. But my question is this. Okay, Obama only has a year left, and then we're going to get the next criminal. We're going to get the next criminal living in the White House. And in your opinion, who do you support? Who would you vote for, even though your vote doesn't really count? Who would you support in this nomination process right now?
Well, everybody, let's put it this way, Joseph. Everybody's going for Trump. Trump this, Trump that, Trump this. If you notice, amongst all the candidates, there's one that stuck out as that Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio talks Americanism straight from the heart. He's a very brilliant man, even though Trump says he's just a kid. No, he's not just a kid. And if he's just a kid, he's got more damage to you, Mr. Trump, than anyone else on that stage. So we have to be careful. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. If anyone has a question, they're more than welcome to call in if they have a question. I know I got several supporters on the line. I don't know where one of my supporters is tonight. He always asks me to invite a guest onto the show, and of course he's not here tonight. I'm not going to stick them out, but I do have someone. Okay, one of my supporters. All right, Andrew, I do have one of my supporters that wants to. It's Joe from Meriden, Connecticut. I'm going to go ahead and patch him through right now. Go ahead, Joe.
Hello, Andrew. Hello, Joe. How's everything this evening?
Pretty good.
Fine.
Good. You're absolutely right with everything you said, Andrew. And also, who's the only president that I'm aware of that didn't accurately and faithfully reiterate his inauguration speech? Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see his speech during the inauguration? He didn't even speak.
All I can say to you is we are, like I said when I was talking before, we're one half an inch away from this administration taking over the country. And then you've got Hillary, I think it was 1974 when she was on that Watergate thing, and
right.
She was ousted because of unethical lying. She was fired with no...
A crook from the word go.
Amen.
And in my opinion, it's going to be Rubio and Billary, because we have a black president, and now we need a Hispanic, and then we need a female. So we're going to get one of those. And I think Obama did transform America. We know he's a Muslim. We just don't know what side he's really on, but I know he's not on my side.
Yeah, and that's true. I agree 100% on that. I've been writing articles for 9 years on this man. You know who got me going on this? Just I'm sorry I'm taking too much. Is what's his name? Kiliopis, the reporter.
I understand
name,
what you're saying.
He said, "Who is this man?" And that got me to really looking. But he is a Muslim, and he's fighting under that to bring his people in. Now they're in every, as I've heard, in every state of the union now, the Muslim mosques and stuff.
Right. We know there's something entirely wrong with this entire Obama family, and I'm not about to bring it up here on the phone call.
Yeah, I understand that, Joe. I understand. Yeah, I understand that. And like I said, Joe, I know I always like to patch you through because you offer good, information. Andrew, trust me, you could take. You're my only scheduled guest tonight. Like I said, I've had in previous weeks, prominent people in prominent positions around the world on this show. So, this show has been growing. And thanks to my supporters also. There's a few supporters I'm really sorry that haven't joined us tonight in other parts of the country. I'm wondering if Peter is out there. I don't see his number yet, but that'd be great if he can contribute to what you said. But, Joe, let me ask you this, the same thing I asked Andrew. I mean, what do we do? We're going to get a puppet up there in office soon. Who do you think would be the best person for the job?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, Joe and Meriden, yes.
In my opinion, when they wrote the Constitution, what were there, 45 million people in America? They had no idea there'd be close to 400 million. We have one person in charge. In my opinion, no one person is going to do the job. Anyone we get in there has got the goods on the other people, and the other people won't mutter a word when something has gone wrong. We do have a vice president, of course, Joe Bite Me, and that's about the size of it. I think the times have changed, things need to be changed, and we need to do something to change on how the country is actually run, because with him on the top the way it is, there are no checks and balances.
That's correct. And Andrew, real quick, you're a writer and you've written, several pieces, you said, about Obama, but you mentioned Hillary. What about this indictment? Is she going to be indicted? If it was you or I that disclosed national security secrets, we'd be in jail tomorrow.
The FBI is dealing in depth with it, but I've heard that they're just going to let it go by. I hope not, because she is a liar. She wasn't even recommended for a job after they fired her for unethical practices while she was on the Watergate thing. So, we'd be in jail.
Have you ever thought about the fact that maybe, just maybe, this person in the White House wanted that server out there in the public domain with all this classified information on it?
Well, you could, it's very easy. What's the other Secretary of State now? It begins with an H. Oh, I can't think of it right now. My Lord, what's going on? I'm getting too old, guys. He was in Vietnam, and he did a lot of stuff that was underhanded. But it looks like Obama has picked all the ones that had some problems way back when.
Exactly. I said this last week, and I said it a few moments ago. What you do is you get the goods on people somehow, and then you've got free reign after that.
Yeah,
that's correct. And Andrew, obviously you've been around the block several times. You know your thing, and you say this country is coming close to. We're almost down. We're almost all gone. But tell me, what can we do to turn it around as Christians, as moral people out there who know, like Joe and Meredith, we know this government's a criminal. and we know what's going on, what can we do as individuals to turn this nonsense around?
Very simple. Vote. Vote. Get out there and vote. If you've never voted before, your vote is, boy, it is a powerful thing. Because Hillary has already promised within the last 3 or 4 days, I believe it was, that if she becomes president, she is going to continue exactly the way Obama has done so far. And I don't know whether that's a political thing to become president or what, but it sure sounds funny to me.
Well, let me ask
would
you.
Be my...
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Joe.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
All right, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Would be my choice. Trump has got a lot of money, billionaire or whatever. He speaks up, and then when someone says something against him, he's like a little kid up there. He has to fight back, you know.
That's true.
And he has no respect for anyone on that stage, none whatsoever.
That is very true.
I don't know.
Go ahead, Joe. I know you have an opinion about voting. Go ahead, you're going to say.
With the voting process the way it is, you know that Hillary supposedly won Iowa and Sanders supposedly won New Hampshire, but with the superdelegates that you're not aware of, because your vote is actually cast and then your delegates are selected to vote for you, she actually won both states. Because the other delegates haven't voted for her yet. So is the voting – you say vote, but is the voting process really on the up and up? I mean, go back to Bush when he lost Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Andrew. Yeah. Go ahead and answer that question. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, yes, there's a lot of unhanded stuff. The last election with Bush Jr., there was some things that were going on, the fraud and the voting. This is something – that has to be a lot of prayer on, because you could lose the whole thing if people are going to be corrupt and do the, and you know darn well they're going to be. There's going to be some votes coming in. They voted 2 or 3 times under different names and so forth and so on. So,
or 5 or 6.
Go ahead, Joe. Go ahead, Joe.
No. Or 5 or 6 votes for the same name. And that's what I say, this whole process is corrupt, and we need to have a look at the entire process, because there aren't 45 million people anymore. You know, there's 400 million, and we've got people, we've got crooked people doing underhanded things.
I got you on, Peter. Hang on.
That spend years manipulating other people to get to the point to where they want, so they won't get indicted.
Well,
Joe, excuse me. I got
okay,
Peter
go
who just wants to. I got Peter who wants to come on. Trust me, everyone can talk. We still got much time here, but I had several other supporters. Go ahead, Joe.
I'm going to listen anyway. I just wanted to jump in here. I got some frozen pipes I got to take care of, but I got a headset, so I'll be listening. And thank you, Andrew. It's nice listening to you.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Joe. That was Joe and Meriden. Peter, go ahead. I got you on now.
How you doing,
Peter?
Doc?
You're on.
Doctor,
yeah. How you doing? I got you on. Go
Dr.
ahead.
Dr. Ventura. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm sure you heard. I'm sure you heard what we're talking about. I got Andrew on, and I just lost Joe. I know he didn't want to hang up. I have like 38 people on the phone line, you see, and I have to keep going up and down the callers to see who wants to come in, you know, and then people, they'll push one, and they won't wait, you know, a couple minutes while the other individual finishes their point. And then what they do is they push one again, and I lose them. So if you want to talk, just push one, wait, and I will eventually get to you, okay? No one is left out, I promise you. But anyway, Peter, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Well, I want to say hello to Andrew and Joe and the rest of your supporters, and thank you for the opportunity to come on the program this evening. I, as a doctor of theology, I, of course, have to look at this from a theological standpoint, and looking at the situation the country's in, and you know, names, biblically, names mean something. When you read the book of Ruth, you find out about the children, their names were Chilion and Malion, and which means in Hebrew, sick and wasting away. And Elimelech meant, you know, my God, the king. And so what you have is names mean something. And when you got Obama, you got an Obama nation. And so God is telling the country something. And I believe wholeheartedly theologically, that the nation itself will receive the leader it deserves. That's how God works. Either he's in control or he's not.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Like,
unless he allows it or he makes it. And so this is the United States of America, who was founded on Christian principles from the very beginning, has turned its back on God and has gone the way that Israel had gone before they were taken to Babylon. And so when God's done with a nation, you know, he'll give them leaders they deserve, but when he's done with the nation, he's done. And not many nations are out there that have survived 300, 400, 500 years. There's a few nations. Israel's the only nation that's ever been revived, and Hebrew's the only language that was dead that has been revived in the history of the world. And so 200, 300 years is a long time for a nation. And this, you know, God's long-suffering. But the leader that will receive in the 2016 election is the leader that the people of the United States of America will deserve. And if they want to change that, then what they need to do is they need to, if they want to change the direction of the country, then they need to repent of their sins and turn back to God and pray that God will have mercy on the country and give them a leader who will lead them back towards God.
But Peter, what do you say to the older individuals out there? Like for instance, I know I have a supporter out there, Joe and Sebastian, Florida. You know, he usually calls in sometimes, and then usually Mike from Wisconsin calls in. He's of the longer in the tooth and the nail than we are. You know, and they've been around the block. Mike, I don't think, is with me tonight. I don't know why. But I hope he's okay and he's in good health. I know he's having some health issues, and I know Mike from Wisconsin usually calls in. He's not here, like I said. But, Peter, what do you say to people? Like, I have several supporters that are elderly that are on the phone line tonight who are in their 70s and 80s who are seeing our country basically destroyed right before our very eyes, and you say, "Yeah, we turned away from God, and we know we removed prayer from schools, and what happened to our public education system? Ever since we removed prayer from schools, it's gone downhill. But yet, what we see that, but we don't do anything about it as Christians or moral people, a morally foundational." People out there who are trying to do the right thing, the working man, the people who are out there providing for their community, people out there who are helping each other, people like Andrew in South Carolina. I'm sure he's out there in the community all the time trying to help individuals out. You, Peter, you're out there. You don't have any time even to take phone calls from your old friends because you're out there pastoring, trying to help people in the community, but yet the country continues to go downhill. Are we fighting a losing battle?
Well, I believe so. I mean, I don't think that things are going to get better. Biblically, the prophecies are that they're not going to get better. They're going to get worse. And so, you know, hold on to your seats.
What do you think, Andrew?
Well, in Ezekiel 33:6-7, I believe it states, to let the people know. The problem with the church today is this. They don't speak out. I'm not saying all of them don't, but quite a few don't, because they're afraid of their income tax. You see, if they get into the political end of it, then the government can take their active tax freedom away from them. And this is one of the reasons they don't want to get involved. But let us select Freedom Ring by taking an active part in restoring our country back to what it stands for. Let's have a leader who leads and applauds the country he leads. And, of course, he's not doing it. But to speak out, I have a street ministry out here. I went from the church when I got very sick of 2005, I believe it was. And God put me out in the streets, and I'm telling you, it's out there. You get a chance to sing and play the saxophone, and I bring two chairs with me to let the people know what's going on around them and get the people saved. That's the most important thing. But I go along with Peter. God is still in control. But nevertheless, we have to speak out as to what it stands for, and I'll tell you, Rubio I'll go back to him. When I first heard him, I said to my wife, Winona, that's the man. And that was over a year ago. And he's up there now. But to Trump, there's just something with him that, I don't know. I believe he doesn't know enough about overseas situations, even though he's a billionaire and he deals with it. But he doesn't know enough how to I hate to use the word manipulate, or get in with people and speak to them correctly in order to change their thoughts and come to some sort of agreement, see? But that's
correct.
That's what I got to
I agree with you, Andrew, on that as far as Trump is concerned. When we first did a show, I actually bashed Trump a little bit on this show, and I took a thrashing from a lot of people. But you're absolutely right. Trump talks the talk, but is he going to walk the walk? You know, he's a showboat. You know, he's a showboat.
Yep.
He's a showboat. And he likes to put on a good show for everybody. And he's a businessman. What's he always tell us, folks? He tells us he's a businessman. What do businessmen do? They're out for themselves and their company. Okay, so if he gets into the White House, he's only going to be there for 4 years, maybe eight. What's he do after that? He's out for himself. You know, he has a company to run. I mean, just look at his background. Look what he's built throughout his life. Look at the skyscrapers he's built. Look at his company. Yeah, he's a successful businessman. But how did he get there? Do you think he got there going to church on Sunday? No. He backstabbed people. He's a liar, and he's a crook. You know? So we have to understand that about Trump also. And we all know when the president's there, Andrew, in the White House, we know he's really only a puppet. And he's to do what he is told. I mean, does he have a say in policy every day of what happens or what goes on? Of course he does. He's the president.
Do you know who backed him? Do you know who backed him? George Soros.
George Soros. We know who George Soros is.
Of dollars when he was running. George Soros is something. He is a Jew, actually. And during the Second World War, his mom and dad went against the Jewish religion and turned into the Gestapo their Jewish people. And they put them up against the wall and killed them all, okay? George Soros is out for one thing, for the world order. And that's what
that's
he's
right.
after, and I believe he's put had a lot to do with Obama becoming president.
That's absolutely correct. And that's like I said about my supporter out. I have one individual in Sebastian, Florida. He hasn't called in for a while, but he's traveled around in the Middle East, and he knows about corruption. As a matter of fact, he just pressed one right now, so I'm going to go ahead and connect them. This is Joe in Sebastian, Florida. So we're covering all parts of the country tonight, so this is great. Hey, Joe,
go ahead,
I got you on. Go ahead.
Okay. Good evening to everyone. Well, I have two items that I could tell you about. First of all, George Soros his name happens to be Schwartz, his real name. And he gets very angry when somebody calls him Schwartzy. So even as a joke. So, that's why he changed his name. Joe, I have something that it's sort of dry, but it goes back a long way. Would anybody want to hear it?
All right, go ahead. We got time. Go ahead.
Okay. 1977. I was working overseas. You know what I was doing at the time. Okay, I was working for the government too. I had to go to the capital of Egypt. Okay.
The capital of Egypt, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was spending a night at a hotel across the street from the obelisk, okay, Victory Square. And, I was walking around, looking around, and this one person approached me. He spoke very good English and introduced himself to me. And, I said, hello, and he told me that, would you care to talk to a couple of my friends? I says, well, my mind was turning over very, very quickly because, I didn't want to, I myself didn't want to get hurt, you know. I says, well, yeah. He says, look, I'm a Christian. Like, that mattered, okay? Which I doubt very much that he was.
Okay.
Because of what happened. So down the road a little ways, I came back at, it was 7 o'clock at night. It was just starting to get dark. And we had coffee. There was three, I believe that by the way they looked and the way they dressed, I believe they were Ayman. And, we went in the back room, and I sat down. And the three guys and him, we sat down at the table. And I says, well, what can I do for you? He said, you tell us about the United States. And my mind
wow.
was going, okay, tell us about the United States. I says, okay. I says, you guys realize that, you know, I just work. He says, yes, oh, yes, yes. They didn't know that I was, I had another job. Well, we started talking, and I started telling them about the United States. They wanted to know about some of the laws. They wanted to know about questions. I told them everything I knew. You know, the laws are free. And I couldn't tell you right now who they were because of their beards. They had long beards. And, you know, nowadays, you know, it was a few years ago.
Why do you think,
well,
Joe, why do you think they approached you as an individual? I mean, we know you were an employee of the government and the intelligence community, and you were over there in the Middle East. Why do you think they singled you out?
Well, I just thought that I was walking by there. I thought about the same thing, Joe. And, you know, I didn't have a sign on me that says, hey, you know, I'm from the government now, what have you. He just wanted to talk to people. My belief, I've turned this over a few times in my mind. My belief is that they were Ayman. They were just starting up ISIS.
Okay.
And I've gone back many times to find out when ISIS was starting, and it's right around that time they started asking people. So I believe that they want to know what the United States is doing on the way of protection. I told them how I says in the United States, I says the men do not sit on a street corner reading the paper, but their eyes never move. He asked me, what are you talking about? I says, well, he's reading the newspaper, but he's looking from one page, he's looking from one side of it to the other. He's looking for at people. And they said, oh, yeah. Okay, they understand what I meant. So
what they're trying to do, you said this is the beginning of the formation of these terrorist groups, ISIS, and you actually are correct.
I think that was the start of
it.
ISIS, okay, because
yeah.
I'm in... I think that they are a meeting place for the people that come in that don't know what to do and receive their orders from there.
Well, Joe, real quick, but a lot of people don't understand this, what you're talking about. You want to know why? Because we live here in America. You see, people in the Middle East who've grown up in the Middle East or other parts of the country where they're not free like we are here, they don't understand the United States. They don't understand that we can come out of our house every day, get in our car and drive around and go anywhere we want, say what we want, and do what we want, basically. They don't understand that. But they hate us. We know that. But I just wonder why. Did you ever get that feeling as to why, when you were over there, they hate us?
No. Most of the people do not hate you. There are a few. It's like, it's like when you're walking along the street and all of a sudden you step into a pile of ants, okay, fire ants or something. They'll come out and attack you, and there they are. But mostly the people, they're just very good. I went over one guy's house, okay? He was my chauffeur. He could speak well, but, I couldn't drive when I was there. So lo and behold, I went into his house. And I did look. I found out how they eat and what they eat, and they have a lot of stew. The woman makes a lot of stew every single day. That way, when the people come in, when the men come in and want to eat, they just come in, put it in a dish, eat it, put the dish in the sink, turn around and go away. So that's about the way it goes, Joe.
Wow.
I know. It's really dry me telling you these things, but you put them all together, and it does draw a story.
It pans out to the Middle Eastern way of life, and I just want to know if my guest Andrew, real quick, Joe, thank you for contributing tonight. I really appreciate it, and I know you're in contact with Mike out in Wisconsin. Just real quick, off the subject. Is he okay? Is everything going? Because he hasn't tuned in tonight, and usually he does.
He said he was going to listen, except that he's not feeling good. Both him and Melody. He made pork chops yesterday, and she says she's not feeling good in her stomach, and he said he's not feeling good either, so maybe that's the reason.
All right, Joe. Hey, thanks. I appreciate it. I hope you're well. I hope you stay in good health. Thanks for supporting the show and calling in. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Joe.
Okay.
All right, that was Joe in Sebastian, Florida. You know, he's up there in age a little bit, not to try to insult him, but he's been around. He's been around the world. And if you listen to a lot of his stories, like he said, it's a little dry, but if you put it all together, you'll understand where he's coming from and what he's all about. But, Andrew, what do you think? I mean, I know I still got Peter on the line here, and I was just wondering what so far, as far as the Middle Eastern people in the Middle East, I know today in America we have that anti-Muslim sentiment. And like Joe said, most of the people over there don't really hate us. There are a few that do hate us. But how do we judge as Christians or Americans about these Muslims? I mean, it's kind of like there's good people, there's bad. But what do you do? I mean, they believe differently. That the Quran, we know, talks about, is anti-Christian. Obviously, they want to kill us if you read the Quran. So what do we do as Americans while this Muslim thing is attacking our cities and we're seeing mosques built all around America? I mean, what do we do as Bible-believing Christians or Americans? How do we address this issue?
Well, that's a good question. The main question, let me see, quote something out of the Bible. All things work together for the good. To those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Where I'm going with that is that, okay, we're in a bad situation. We all know it. But God is in control. Still, even though we speak out, which he wants us to do, against evil, he's still, and he, like Peter said, I believe Peter said this, he'll put who he wants into office when the time comes. But in the meantime, let's keep praying. That's about the only thing, that is the only thing really we can do other than just speaking out to and voting, you know. Let's
well, that's what I said.
Together.
Yeah, and that's what I said.
Love one another as God loved the church and gave his only begotten son for the salvation of all mankind. So that's my answer to you. Let's keep going. Don't give up. And God will be with us for sure.
Yeah, you're right. And Andrew, I said that a couple shows ago, actually. I know maybe Peter may disagree with me on my views or how I've talked in the past. But look, like I was talking about this Oregon situation with the militia out in the West Coast. You know, to get into a shooting war with the government is suicide. Okay, you're going to destroy this country. To plunge this country into a civil war, if you look at the numbers and you look at the Army data, this country will absolutely be leveled. And we're open for attack then by other countries. We don't live like we did in 1776 where we could pick up a musket, get 40 or 50 men together and make a statement. Today we live in a sophisticated world with millions and millions of people living in this country now, 350 million to be exact, who don't even know how to plant a tomato plant, okay? So if we were to end up in a war, there would be so much carnage and hurt and bloodshed, there's just no way to turn around. After that, you may as well kiss the United States goodbye. The main point I'm trying to make here is today we are in an information war, like Andrew just said.
Get the word out. Keep talking. Keep talking. Keep talking. We still have our free will. Keep talking and try to turn people over to God and do the right thing, even though sometimes it's like talking into the mirror or talking to a wall, because there's so many zombies out there today, so many medicated, drugged out, agitated, dumbed down people in society today. It's frustrating and it's dangerous. We know that, but back in the days when Jesus was out there preaching and all the apostles, you know, it was dangerous for them too. Their message was not well welcomed. And what we have to do is go out there and keep preaching the word, keep giving the right information, stick to the facts. We all have opinions, okay? But opinions are great. We can learn from them, but it doesn't mean your opinion should be applied to everybody's factual way of living. We have to stick to history, true history, and the facts. What do you think about that, Andrew?
You're correct. What could I say? You're a patriot. You know why to change the subject just for a little second here. You know why the Japanese didn't come into America? Because of the Second Amendment. We can bear arms, and they knew it. They knew it at that time. They did enough damage at Pearl Harbor, but, you know, the men that put this country together, put it together, not just for one person, but for all of us. And
that's
to
correct.
Say we're not going to speak up or not, even in the church, there's something wrong. There's got to be something wrong with the pastoralship. You know, they have to speak. Get these people out to vote or whatever, because if, like I said before, if Hillary gets in, which I believe she will not, she may be caught in this lie with the FBI, so we have to all see. See, God works in strange ways. Love him, and all is conquered. See? That's my answer to you.
That's correct.
Hey,
all right, thanks.
I've got
thanks.
To go,
I appreciate
Joseph.
Hey,
my,
oh, that's fine.
Owns,
Thank you. I appreciate
your
time here tonight, Andrew.
My wife was passed away last week, and I have to get, she's calling me now. Okay?
I understand, Andrew. Thank you. Please join us again sometime in the future, okay?
Yes, you bet,
Take
sir.
Care.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Take care, Andrew. Take care. That was Andrew from South Carolina. Peter, do I still have you on the line? I might not. Peter, are you still there?
I'm here.
Maybe not. Oh, okay, Peter. Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Peter? Well, after all was said, what do you think?
Well, I think, you know, Andrew's absolutely correct. I think that it's a condition of the heart. And I think that people, I said this before in this program, people don't understand what ISIS is trying to do. And to understand it, you would have to go back and look at history. The old saying is, one thing men never learn from history is they don't learn from history. Just go back.
Like Joe in Sebastian, Florida. I mean, he was there when they first started, correct? He was giving us pointers what they were talking about, what they were trying to learn.
Well, people need to go on the Internet. And or to the library and look up the Ottoman Empire and study the Ottoman Empire for a minute. It's merely all that ISIS is doing is trying to do what the Ottoman Empire did. And it finally took, you know, the Christians to send the Muslims back to their hometowns. They tried to set up a worldwide caliphate in the past. And so you have to look at the Battle of Tours and those things. You have to check that out and understand what's going on. You see, it's not terrorists, it's Islam. Islam is the problem. And it's the function of Islam not to befriend Christians and not to befriend Jews. And it's okay to lie to your enemy and treat them as a friend while you're obtaining your objective.
Bingo, Peter. And back to Joe in Sebastian, Florida, when he was over there working for the government, what did he say? They invited him over to their house. You know, showed them how they live. They asked them a lot of questions. How is it? What did you just say? Treat them as a friend. But in reality...
Well, you know, I met Javed Mahmood, and Javed Mahmood was a human rights speaker for this country of Pakistan. And he was ousted when the government changed hands, and he was set up with some cocaine, which he wasn't a dealer, and he went to prison for it. And Jabir Mahmood, you know, when they met guys like me who have a good grasp on the laws of the country and the Constitution, you know, they asked me, they said, you know, when we can, we'd love to invite you to our country just to teach us about the laws of the United States, you know, and to educate our people. But, you know, there's always that other side, too, and who knows. And, of course, I never went there. I never had the opportunity anyway and wasn't really looking for it. But we're in a place, listen, it's not guns, and taking away our Second Amendment right isn't going to cut down the street violence. People who have an evil heart, if they don't have a gun, they'll pick up a knife. They don't have a knife, they'll pick up a stick. If they don't have a stick, they'll pick up a rock. If you think keeping guns, you know, guns out of the people's hands is going to stop, you know, terrorist attacks and mass shootings, listen, there'll be mass stabbings. There'll be mass something else. And people who want to kill people are just, in their heart, they're going to do it. And it doesn't matter, you know, if they attack these, you know, like in Paris. Hey, listen, if they didn't have guns, it would have been knives, just like they're doing in Israel. They're attacking people with knives. They don't have guns.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do? Now, okay, let's outlaw knives.
That's right.
You know,
hey, Peter.
Is to, and,
yeah.
And remember,
Peter,
this government
go ahead,
is
go ahead,
trying
sorry,
to...
Go ahead.
You know, your friend was talking about the world, one world government, and who was involved in trying to obtain that, and that's exactly what's going on in the world. I mean, they've, you know, even the core curriculum, we're teaching children that they're not citizens of the United States, but they're global citizens. You know, preparing, these are long term agendas. You have to understand that even if Hillary Clinton doesn't get in, the long term agenda will only be put off by 4 years, but it'll be working in other areas through public education and other areas that you don't see. It's just like the homosexual agenda. And the homosexual agenda we had them on TV and we used to laugh. We used to see the rabbit there. What's his name? Bugs Bunny, dressed like a woman chasing Elmer Fudd around. We all thought that was funny. Okay? Well, see what our laughing at that stuff got us. And now it's not funny anymore. See? But the agenda began a long time after that. And then they would show up, the homosexuals would show up, and the lesbians would show up on TV as funny people and comedies. And we would be laughing at them. You see? Well, where are we today? See, the agenda was being pushed all along. And just like the one world government is being pushed, it's an agenda that's being pushed. And it's long term. It's not something that somebody's trying to do today, tomorrow. Sure, they'd love it, but they realize it's a long term agenda. It takes a long time to where you get where a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman in the United States of America. And so you have to understand the agenda. And the same thing with the Ottoman Empire and the same thing with Islam. It's a long term agenda. They're in your country. And they're going to grow, and they're going to prosper, and they're going to, and it's going to be a you know, the religious Christians and the unreligious Muslims.
Peter, you're absolutely correct, but I don't know. We're going to start to try to wrap it up. I want you to plug your show also, but I think Joe. I don't know if Joe has Joe and Meriden, not the other Joe. May have something else he wants to add real quick before we wrap it up, but I want you to plug your show that you're on Thursdays. But real quick, I'm going to go ahead. Hey, Joe, I think I'm connecting him right now.
Yeah.
Joe,
yeah,
are
I'm
you
here.
There? Go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. You hear
what
me?
What you got to say? Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Well, what happened is I hung up by accident, and I called in, and I pressed 1 by accident, so I stayed on the line. But it's been a very interesting show. Satchmo there, Andrew, that was very nice to listen to him. Peter always has words of wisdom. You know, and you have to realize that these are very polished politicians. They get on stage, and they give them a minute to say their spiel when you know you can't. You know, if you got Trump up there to talk for an hour, you could probably find out the real meaning and everything behind them. But they don't want you to get the real meaning. And you don't know if the president has already been selected, and this is all just a big game. Because you really don't know that. And what I think, you always ask what we can do to make things better or correct these things. Well, I've said it before, and I'm not a politician, and I'm not an attorney, and I don't know anything about anything. But what I think that we should do is we should all go back to local sheriffs. We should all go back to a local grand jury before it gets handed off to your local police or local state police or whatever, because, you know, there's 55,000 people where I live, and there's a lot more people that know me personally, than the cops that drive around here. So they would be a better judge of my character and whether or not I was committing a crime or acting immorally than the police department, and we could eliminate a lot of problems that way.
Hey, Joe, thanks. Real quick, Peter, not to interrupt you guys, but real quick, I got Elizabeth Rondo. She doesn't call in very much anymore because she's in poor health, but I just want to give her her say real quick. So Elizabeth Rondo in Yalesville, Connecticut, I'm going to connect her right now. And trying to connect her. The lines are clogged. But, all right, got her. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Elizabeth Rondo in Yalesville, Connecticut. Go ahead.
Hi, Joe. I think we
How
all
you doing?
Should vote. Good. I think we should all vote for Trump and get it over with. No, that's the truth. That's the truth. Hey, Joe, call me.
All right, I will. Thank you. Thank you for calling
me. I mean Big Joe. Call me for Mary.
Oh, okay, the other Joe. The other Joe American. Okay.
You're going to answer the phone if I call?
Yes, I'll answer.
All right, I'll call you when you hang up.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Peter. All right, Peter, go ahead, plug your show, and say what you got to say to wrap it up, and I'll wrap it up, and we're all done. Go ahead.
I think it's an interesting show. I think the forum's very important. I think that that's an exercise of our First Amendment rights, and I think we still live in a great country. I just don't like the people that are running it. But anyway, I'm a guest here tonight, and my name is Dr. Ventura. I have the Sound Doctrine broadcast on a Thursday evening. It's a Christian theological program. We do some teaching, and we do some old path preaching, real preaching with some conviction. We have a ladies' night once a month, every third week, and the women come on. We have some specials there. And you can Blog Talk Radio. You can tune in on Thursday nights. The number is 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. Or you can email me at ventura.peter77@gmail.com. That's ventura.peter77@gmail.com. And I'm available for speaking in anybody's church or around the country. I'm more than happy to come and visit and see what the Lord will do. Joe, I want to thank you. I look forward to your next program. And keep your chin up. You know, we're saying knees on the floor, nose in the Bible, eyes on Jesus. Amen.
That's one of my favorite sayings, actually, when you say that. You closed it out, I think, a month ago when you came on. What is it? Knees on the floor, nose in the Bible. What else? Say that again.
And eyes on Jesus.
Hey, I like that one. That's pretty good. Hey, you can't go wrong, right?
Amen, brother.
All right. Hey, listen, it was a good show tonight. Thanks for Peter from San Diego, California, and Andrew in South Carolina. He gave his little, all those people that log in afterwards who download the show. Hey, listen, Joe from Florida tonight, Sebastian, Florida. I missed Mike tonight from out in Wisconsin. Usually he checks in. Joe in Meriden, Connecticut. Bridget in Reedsville, North Carolina. I know she's listening. And then we had Elizabeth Rondo in Wallingford, Connecticut. And, hey, these are elderly people.
One thing for Mike.
Yeah.
One thing for Mike. He ate bad pork chops. Have a nice cup of clove tea. That'll kill all the parasites.
Well, he's not listening, but I'll send him a text message. Okay, buddy, that was good advice. All right, just go take Joe's advice. But anyway, Peter, listen, thanks from San Diego, California. I know it's still a little early out there. It's getting later out here on the East Coast. And thanks tonight. It was a good show. Hey, it was really good. I appreciate everybody participating tonight. It was very, very important for everyone to call. Because like I said, without you, there is no show. And hey, the show is growing. You know, it really is. We're getting international guests. We're getting retired politicians. Now, hey, maybe we'll get the governor of North Carolina on here soon. I've reached out to him, and, you know, we're growing. The show's growing. That was the goal. And, hey, and I have to say thank you to the people who participate, because without you, the show would not grow. So next show's Thursday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you very much. God bless.
Good night.
Let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war. But there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shotters around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay, there is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said, the destiny of man is not measured by material competitions. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn they're spirits, not animals. He said, there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
Renewed hostile actions against United States ships on the high seas in the Gulf of Tonkin have today required me to order the military forces of the United States to take action in reply.
Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible?
He still has the gun. The gun is pointed at me right at this moment.
Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to.
We were to run a hell of a fast. We had an explosion and we are demanding that we agree. Let's try our best.
People calling themselves members of the Weather Underground last night planted bombs in federal office buildings in Washington and Oakland, California.
They took the babies out of incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
Survivors of the USS Liberty are demanding a congressional investigation into what happened and acknowledgement that the Israeli Air Force bombed a U.S. intelligence Navy ship.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
The Taliban is taking responsibility for shooting.
shooting down a U.S. helicopter. More than 30 people were killed, and there are reports this morning that most of them are U.S. Navy SEALs.
There may be a false flag incident where a ship goes down and used to accelerate the next war.
If there's one thing that has unified Democrats and Republicans, and everybody in between, that we all hated the bank bailout.
The Department of Homeland Security is apparently on a huge ammo buying spree.
It comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition.
Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people.
They estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
From the front lines of the information war.